Ghost Stories Online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint, where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. Today's show, your calls, your stories of the undead. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Of course, you can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And I have to ask about the title of our show today, The Woods Look Back. Is this in the tense of The Woods Look Back or The Woods, a look back?
No.
Like as another story that we've already done, because we've done a lot of stories about the woods.
No, this is a sometimes when you look at the woods look back, to quote one of our callers.
Okay. So it's directly from a line in the story.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because we hear from Cisco today. And
oh, it's been a while.
That's one of the things she said.
All right. Well, I'm excited for that story. If you're a longtime listener of the show, as you know, Cisco was one of our first listeners, really. Loyal listeners of the show, submitted to a lot of the original episodes and got a lot of her, I guess, greatest hit stories, if you will. I mean, one only has so many ghost stories,
right?
You know, and she got a lot of them out early on in the show. So if you want to hear some of those, actually, those are in our EPP section at ghostpodcast.com. They just fall off of iTunes. The question I get is, why are there only 300 episodes on iTunes? Only. Well, because at 300, iTunes just stops putting them out there. And then they just kind of get pushed down as new episodes get released. So we've taken those old episodes that have gone pushed off, all around like 300 of those. And those are up on our EPP website under Classic RGSO. So if you want to hear those, you can check that out there if you're an EPP and get super caught up on the show. Somebody should create a wiki for Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yeah.
That would take a tremendous amount of work. That would be crazy. Uh-huh. Like every ghost story we have, like wiki cataloged.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love it because it would be so easy to reference.
Sure.
But at the same point, I don't know. If you're the Uber fan who wants to start that, let me know. That would be awesome. If anyone does that, I'd be very, very curious and grateful. I'd probably get them their own bunk bed bill. If somebody actually, and they not just like made the page and okay, hope somebody fills this in, but like actually did the work.
Sure.
You know, that would be very interesting. So anyhow, that'd be cool if somebody did that, because there's so many wikis out there for everything now. I could see at some point that being developed.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of very loyal listeners who I could see just enjoying it. You know, it's kind of like reliving some of the stories and summarizing them.
Sure.
But anyway, anyone wants to do it, let me know. We can talk about how that would work. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to Christy in Texas. Hi.
Hi, Tony. Hey, Jenny. This is Christine. I am from, well, a little town south of Houston, Houston, Texas. And I wanted to call in a story that just happened this morning, as well as tell you something that happened in the past that was kind of, I guess, a big deal and has stuck with me. First off, I was listening to you run your podcast. I believe it was the Band Played On episode. I want to say it was about 3 months old. I never usually listen at my house because, well, it's my mom's house, actually. I'm moving to a different house soon. But I never listen there just because I always have a really creeped out feeling, and I don't like feeling that way. But I thought, screw it, I'll listen to it this morning. So while I was listening, a gentleman called in. He was talking about his experience in the Ripley's Believe It or Not and saying it was haunted and whatnot. And I heard this loud kind of growl. At first, I was just like, I just turned and it came right from my phone and turned and looked at it, and I got really creeped out. Didn't want to acknowledge it. Just kind of paused the podcast and started playing music to lighten up the mood. but that kind of prompted me to call in and kind of see if anyone else maybe heard it, because I tried playing it back whenever I got in the car and I didn't hear anything like that. So I'm not really sure what went on. So then one of my major stories is something that happened to me whenever I was living in Damon, actually. It wasn't really Damon in Texas. It was a neighborhood that was right by the Braxton State Park. It's a really nice neighborhood, big houses, and, you know, every house has like 5 acres. And my parents were still together at that point. And I was about 10 years old, I want to say. And it was just a regular day, came home from school, walked through the door, I believe I was in the kitchen, just getting some, you know, a snack and some water. And I heard my dad call out. He said, "Rebecca." "Oh, it's just Christine." My sister's name is Rebecca. And so I was like, "Oh, okay, well, thanks, Dad. That sure makes me, you know, feel special and whatnot." And I was like, whatever, and went, sat down, and started watching TV. And my mom called, and she called, and we talked for a little bit, and then she asked if she could speak to my dad. And I was like, "Sure, 1 second." She said, "Oh, that's right. He was working late, so he wasn't home yet." And I was like, "No, I heard him. He's home. Let me just get him real fast." She said, "Okay." So I went to what we called his computer room, where he's usually where he would be after he got home, and he was not there. And I was like, "Okay, that's kind of weird." So I went to their bedroom, and no one was in there. And then I knocked on the master bathroom door, and it was, you know, closed and dark, and no one answered. I just kind of opened it and looked around, and there was for sure no one there. I even looked in their walk-in closet. and there was just no one there. So at this point, I was getting pretty worked up throughout the entire search, because I'm like, I heard someone say something, but there's no one here. My dad's not here. So I started freaking out, talking on the phone with my mom. And she said, "Just call your dad. Just call your dad. I'll be home in a little bit." And I said, "Okay." So I called my dad, and, you know, I'm hysterical. I'm crying. I'm like, you know, is there someone in the house with me? What is going on? And I called him, and he confirmed that he's not here yet. He's on his way home. He stayed with me on the phone the entire time until he got home. I just always thought that was so weird that it sounded like a man's voice. It was a man's voice, and it sounded like my dad's voice, but it could have been a little off because I didn't expect it to be anyone else but my dad, you know. So I wasn't really kind of searching to see if it sounded exactly like him or not. So that's one of the things that happens. And I have to say, that neighborhood that we used to live in, a lot of bad things happened there. And we only lived there, I want to say, less than 10 years. My neighbor, he accidentally shot a family member and killed him. We had one of my closest friends actually lost her little sister in a car accident. We had another friend that was moving in. They were building their house on the property, and their house burned down. And it's just kind of like odd things that are really kind of tragic kept happening in that neighborhood. And it was just really, really odd. It was a very, very nice neighborhood. You know, everyone was pretty friendly and whatnot. I did hear stories, actually, about a woman and her son, and he was a man. He was grown. And they mentioned something about possibly doing satanic rituals at their house with goats. They had a bunch of goats. I'm not really sure if that story is true, but it's kind of something that would happen. Another thing that happened in that house is my dad will work offshore, and he would be a crane operator, so he'd be gone for, usually it was like a month, and then be home for a week, or be gone for 3 months and be home for a month. Kind of an odd schedule, and I would go sleep in my mom's room, because they had a huge king-size bed, first of all, and it was always really cold, and I loved having it so cold, it just made me sleep better. And so I was probably around the same age, I would say, probably between 8 and 12. And I woke up in the middle of the night, and I saw this white figure of this, either a little girl or a little boy. I could see features. That's one thing that kind of stuck with me. I could see features. But nothing really stood out as, like, in my memory, just kind of remind me of these are a little girl, a little boy, but they were just peeking their head over the edge of the bed, and I could just see the tops of their hands and the top half of their face. And I was like, what the heck? And I closed my eyes, and I opened them real fast, and it would still be there, and it was, and so I put the covers over my head because I am a little girl, and obviously that would protect me. So that's one thing that happened, or another thing that happened, I guess. My sister claimed that she heard footsteps when no one was there, and it was late at night. And my sister's not one who believes in any of this stuff, so for her to claim that, it was kind of a big deal. They actually still make fun of me from my story, because I got so freaked out that one time when I thought I heard that guy's voice, or I guess what I thought was my dad's voice. He still makes fun of me because of that. So for her to say something happened was kind of like, okay, that did happen, and that really freaked her out. My mom doesn't really believe in this stuff. I don't really have family members that believe in it either. But I wouldn't say I'm a sensitive or an empath or anything like that, but I always have kind of what I would just say is like a gut instinct about people. Whenever I don't like someone, and I mean I really just don't like something, there's something about them that pushes me away. It's always kind of something that's come to light either in a few years or a year or a few months that was kind of like, okay, that person's not a good person, especially for, a young girl to be around or something like that. I don't know what it is, but I always kind of have this just kind of gut instinct about certain situations to certain people, and a lot of times it leads to be true. So it's something I've always had. That's it. I hope you can air this, possibly. If not, that's okay. Y'all have a great day. Bye.
The parent voices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the ghosts decide to make the parent voices, that's like the most alarming.
Well, how so?
Because you walk into your house and you're like, oh, okay, my parents' home. Mm-hmm. No, they're not. And something else is trying to be that comforting person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not them.
I was going to say, like, from a appearance aspect, I think it would be just as creepy to have the ghost making the noises of your children.
Yeah.
You know, you walk into the house. I mean, it's probably like the same different, you know. Why? I mean, it kind of depends, you know.
I think it's just as creepy, but you tend to find, at least I guess most people, some kind of comfort
sure.
in your parent, you know.
Sure.
Security.
Uh-huh.
And then it's like the most not secure thing possible.
Sure. I totally get where you're coming from. I think that would be extremely creepy. I just, there's something to me about, you know, the ghost kids
mm-hmm.
that are out there. When you hear like the little giggle laughing, you know, and then it turns into something.
Sure.
But sometimes it's just that, where you just like, people are like, it sounds like I'm hearing children.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that often where it's like, it's just like I'm hearing children and it's distinctively the sound of my child. Because
yeah.
if you have kids, you just know what your kids sound like.
Mm-hmm.
You can pick them out of a crowd most of the time. But I haven't had many ghost stories where it's like reversed almost. You know, where it's like that, where they're hearing their kids and the kids, and you're like, oh, it's just the kids are playing. I hear them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like some off in the distance just giggle.
Sure.
It's just a clear, oh, this is, they're having a conversation. I can hear their words. I think that would be very creepy too.
Mm-hmm.
And then to find they're not in that room, or you realize, oh, they're out with a friend that day or something, and it clicks in like, oh, wait a second, they're not even home.
And we've had stories like that too.
Yeah, that's creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the call and sharing that experience with us. Let's go over to the Cisco call.
Okay.
And hear an update from Cisco.
Hello, Tony and Jenny. It's been such a long time, but I assure you I've been listening. This is Cisco. And I had a delightful chat with Tony on one of his live broadcasts. And you guys are just doing such a great job. I kind of told you that it was going to be, show was going to be a big deal and really, really grow. And it's not done yet. So I'm glad I was correct about that one. I promised Tony that I would call him and give a chilling little tidbit to one of the stories I called in with. Gosh, you know, you can probably hear it in my voice. That woman still gives me the chills. But Jenny lovingly referred to her as the snot witch. If I tried to find the story so I could reference the episode it was in for anybody who didn't hear it, I can't find it. I'm sorry. Maybe you guys can. But anyway, it was the woman that showed up when I was about 8 in the woods, and she kept getting closer and closer, hiding behind trees, and those meeting hands that just, she was so angry, and she had that horrible string of snot hanging out of her nose. It swung back and forth, but it didn't break, so that's kind of what sent me into the house, and that's when I slammed the door and sat down against the wooden part of the door and thought I was safe until I remembered that the top part of the door was glass, and also that my mother was looking out the window and she couldn't see it, which made me think that the woman had left. But when I stood up and looked out the window, I could see her standing half behind a tree looking around and looking right at me. And that also made me realize at that point in time that I could see her and my mother could not, which made me run through the house into the living room. I jumped on the couch, pulled my knees up, kind of tried to make myself a human ball in the fetal position sitting up, and just thought to myself, I'm surrounded by glass windows. It was a beach bungalow in Belmar, New Jersey that had been renovated and rented out. So it was lots and lots of glass, and the woods were around the back end of this house. And I kept looking, and now I couldn't see her, which is probably worse, because then you're wondering, where is she? But that was the realization at that time, that my mom couldn't see her, and I could, and what else was out there? We wound up moving. Soon after, unfortunately, my mom had passed. She died of cancer, and probably within the year, maybe 2 years. And I went to live with my aunt and uncle. And this is the finish up on this story. I went to live with my aunt and uncle, and they also lived in Belmar, New Jersey. And it turned out that when I was given a room, it was in the top floor, and it was in the back of the house. And I'm on the second floor of this house, and I'm looking at my little room, which I was so proud to have. I mean, anytime you're given a space that's your own after such a tragedy in your family, just the feeling of security and warmth and everything in such a tragic time really just surrounds you and makes you feel just a little better. And I remember looking out the window, and as I look out the back window, I look through this beautiful mimosa tree, and I'm looking at the mimosa. If you don't know what that is, they're very pink, fluffy flowers, and they smell just wonderful when the wind goes through. And I'm looking out this window, and I'm looking across the yard, and I look over the fence, and I realize that where my aunt and uncle's yard ends, those that I had lived in the house earlier begin. And I could look through those woods and see the back end of the little house that I used to live in with my mom. So now I am back on the other end of these woods. I had no idea. I didn't know that my aunt had lived so close. I just didn't put it together until that moment. And now I'm back looking over these woods where I'd seen that woman, and I'm back again. And now, every time I look out that window, I'm scared I'm going to see her. And I was in the backyard one day. It was a sunny day. And I was playing Frisbee with my cousin. And I remember it was an orange Frisbee. And he had thrown it, and I missed. And it overshot me and just kind of glided over the fence and landed about, oh gosh, 15 feet into those woods. And he goes, jump over the fence and get it. And I'm like, no way. That Frisbee is gone. There's no way I am jumping over that fence and going into those woods. And I remember him getting very angry at me and me going into the house, and that Frisbee's probably still there. But just like the flashette that was at the bottom of the pool, I'm not going in to get it. You know, I had learned my lesson, and some things you just do not mess with. I never saw her again, but I could feel, there was plenty of times I was in that backyard and you would feel something behind you watching you. And just remember that sometimes when you're standing and looking into the woods, sometimes they look back. So love you, Tony and Jenny. There's a little story. I'll call in later and give you kind of a yin and yang on that one, and give you a good story of something wonderful that happened about a ride I got one evening and taken to safety. And it was pretty awesome. So I hope you get this. I hope you can use it. And if you can find that snot witch, I would love to for people to hear it if they hadn't heard it again. And no offense to my Wiccan friends out there. a lot of wonderful, fantastic witches. She wasn't a witch at all. This woman was something that evil had made. Have a wonderful and blessed day. Love you all. Bye.
The Snot Witch.
I think that one is so old, it may be only available to EPPs now.
Back in the old... That, I think, goes back to probably our first 100 episodes?
Yeah, I would say maybe even our first 50.
Okay, then that would be back in that original archive chunk. So.
Yeah.
Okay, because I think it goes back to, like, I believe, like, 2014 right now. I could be off on where it's
at. Well,
2015 is where it's at right now.
Okay.
Somewhere.
Because you started in 2013. We're about to have our third anniversary.
Yeah, so it's back there.
Mm-hmm.
It's back there in that archive that has iTunes pretends doesn't exist. So there you go.
Okay.
Good story.
Yeah, that just kind of gives you chills that she said sometimes when you look at the woods, they look back. It's like, oh.
That's a great line for like a movie trailer or something. I could totally hear that, you know, being in something.
Oh, come on, do it. Do it in a movie voice.
Okay, stand by. Hang on 1 second. I want to do it. I want to do it right. Justify doing it. So, hang on. Da, 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 da. Okay. I'm finding sound effects.
Okay.
So, and I hope it plays here.
I think this is the first time in the history of the show I've actually encouraged you to do something wacky with your voice.
I think it really is. What's the line again?
Sometimes when you look at the woods, they look back.
Sometimes when you look at the woods, look back.
That was good.
There you go.
That was good.
This summer, Patrick Swayze returns Ghost 2. With a special appearance by... trying to think of somebody. Give me somebody.
I don't know.
Toons's The Driving Cat.
Okay.
There you go. That would be... and that, what happens in Ghost 2 is they make... the cat's trying to make pottery. And then the Patrick Swayze comes up behind.
You Toons. Go weird every time you have a chance with animals.
But the same song still plays.
No.
Whoa,
stop.
My.
Stop.
Let's go to a caller. Hi, I'm going to call.
Hey, guys. This is Brittany calling from the Imperial Valley, California. I love your guys' show. I found it on Spotify on accident, but I've been hooked for the past few weeks. I've been catching up on it. You guys do a great job. And I just wanted to share my ghost story that I think is pretty scary, but at the same time, it proves that there is something that happens after we pass away. So when I was younger, my parents usually would go out of town and leave us, me and my brother, to stay with one of my grandmas who was like one of the hardcore Mexican Catholic ones. So her house had a bunch of crosses, statues of angels. By her bed, she had a little shrine of one of the saints, a cross, and a little angel also. And every night before we would go to bed together, we would say a prayer in Spanish and go to sleep. And around the same time, every night that I would spend there, I would wake up. I want to say it was about 2 in the morning. And I would hear footsteps that would come from the bathroom, and they would end at her hall. But I guess when I was younger, I was a lot more brave than I am now. And I would look, and I wouldn't see anything except for the kitchen and the dining room area, since they were both connected. So to me, that made, like, no sense. It was creepy, and I didn't know what it was. I guess that was my first experience with, like, the paranormal. Fast forward a few years, my grandma actually got very, very sick. She ended up having cancer. She beat it, and she ended up getting leukemia, and that was when we put her in special care. And while she was in the care, we would usually go and visit her, and, you know, she would be like, oh, like in Spanish, like, oh, I love you, you know, I'll always watch over you and whatnot. And then it was very emotional. Sometimes when I look back, I get, like, I cry because it was just a big loss losing someone that important. But anyways, so we said our goodbyes, and then probably about a week later, in the morning, I woke up randomly. I felt like not numb, but I didn't feel anything. And I laid in bed staring at the ceiling, and probably for 5 minutes, 5 minutes passed, and I'm just laying there. And then the phone rings, and it's my aunt calling saying, oh, you know, she passed away peacefully. She's, you know, she's gone. And the weird thing was that she said it, and I was awake for 5 minutes. So I don't know if that was maybe a connection of her leaving this earth and me, like, feeling it. I don't know. And then probably a few months pass, and some more weird stuff starts happening, a lot weirder than what I had. So one of my cousins, She was also close with my grandma, and she was alone at the house and watching TV or relaxing, I don't know, one of the two. And out of nowhere, a bowling ball comes rolling down the hallway, and it somehow curves into the living room where she's at. She freaked out and ran outside the house. And she said it made no sense because it's a very heavy bowling ball. And like, for it to come out the closet, somehow maneuver its way out of a room, down the hallway, maneuver into the living room, that's just kind of strange. No one knew what to make of it. We were all kind of confused, but like, you know, we kind of let it go. And then fast forward, I want to say at least a year, one of my uncles, he ended up having a very strange experience at the house. Since my grandma had been gone for at least a year by then, or a year and a half, her house was open to like any relatives who came down to visit. And well, he was celebrating being back, you know, from vacation, whatnot. And he was celebrating with his friend. His friend had, they went out, they had a lot of drinks, they went back to the house, and, you know, like, they both passed out. My uncle passed out in my grandma's old room, and then his friend slept on the sofa in the like, kitchen, dining room area. And I guess in the morning, his friend was like, oh, like, tell your grandmother, tell your mother, thank you for taking care of me last night. And my uncle said he was confused because by then my grandma had already been gone for a year, and he asked him what he meant. And his friend basically said that while he was laying down on the sofa, he saw my grandma come out of the bedroom with a glass of water, and she set it next to him and told him, don't worry, like, you'll be better in the morning, you'll feel better in the morning. And so my uncle was confused to how this could have even happened. He said the guy was his friend was dreaming, whatnot. But somehow there was an empty glass by him, and it made no sense. So that was pretty freaky. His friend was freaked out. It was definitely, I think, more proof that there is something else after we pass away. So, and this one, this last one I'm going to share with you, fast forward to when I'm going to the community college, it could have been coincidence, I'm not sure. So I was taking a night class, and, you know, I was having a good time. By then, my grandma had been gone for, I want to say, 3 years. So I was having a good time in class. It was about almost 9:30. She let us leave early. I walked to my car, and I see a bunch of police cars by it. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is the only car I have to get to class. How am I going to do this? So I was so afraid that maybe something hit my car. I wasn't sure what to expect. So I ran all the way to where the lights were, and I see that the police were surrounding the area because a car somehow drove off the freeway into the parking lot. It missed my car by about a foot and slammed into two cars in the parking lot, totaling them both. And everyone was completely shocked. The police were like, wow, you dodged a bullet. The dean was even outside, like, you know, you did dodge a bullet. And I do feel as though my grandmother was watching over me, you know, as she had said she would when she was about to pass. And I'm really thankful for that. But like I said, I don't know if maybe that was something else going on, or if it was a coincidence, like I said, or I got lucky. But those are my stories for you guys. I want to know what you guys think. Maybe it could have been coincidence. I don't know if it was my grandma watching over me. Like I said, I love your guys' show. I can't wait to hear like what you guys have come next. You guys make a good team. And I am going to be an EPP soon. I'm just waiting for the next paycheck. And can't wait to hear what you guys have next. All right. Thanks for listening. Bye.
I think it's more than just grandma's watching out for her. I think grandma's watching out for anybody who comes into her home or is around her family, just mm-hmm. because the way she kind of took care of that, you know, the friend
yeah.
of the family who kind of overdid it a little bit.
It's almost like grandma is still grandma in the house. It's still grandma's house.
Yeah.
She's still taking care of people as if she were living, and if they would be guests.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't really matter who it is.
Yeah.
And that's kind of cool.
It is.
She's still there wandering the halls
mm-hmm.
and doing more than wandering.
Mm-hmm.
it seems. That's cool. Thank you for sharing the story. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi, let's hear your ghost story.
Hey, guys. This is Drew. Thanks for accepting this story of stories that I'm going to share with you right now. So I live in Utah, born and raised here for the most part of my life. And I have a story that happened to me two Christmases ago with my wife. Now, at the time, we were married for about a year, and since our parents live so close together, they only live about a mile away from each other, we had spent Christmas morning, I think this is 2014, we had spent Christmas morning with my parents at their home, which was, like I said, just a mile away, and then we were going to go and spend the rest of Christmas Day with my in-laws, which was just close by. So at around 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we went over there to, you know, open presents and have fun with their family or her family. Well, the thing was is that they told us that they had all planned to go to Park City because my father-in-law is a musician. He was playing a show with Kurt Bester in Park City. So they asked if we wanted to go because it was going to be overnight. They were going to play late on Christmas Day and stay the night in a hotel in Park City. My wife and I didn't really feel like going, so we elected to stay home that Christmas night and take care of the dogs. Well, I know that in their house before they moved in, before my in-laws moved in, there was kind of a broken family situation. I don't really know much more than that. I'm not going to lie and say there was, like, a murder that went down there. I don't think there was. And don't get me wrong. I'm not usually a believer in tons of paranormal activity. I believe that there is definitely, otherworldly stuff that happens here. But this story freaked me out, and I'm not usually one to, to believe this. Well, they all leave Christmas night at, like, 7 p.m. My wife and I are home. It's Christmas. It's cozy. You know, we have two dogs and a cat with us. It's late, and we decide we're going to go to bed, and we decide to sleep in the master bedroom because her parents are gone, of course, right? And so my father-in-law has a lot of guns, and in his bedroom, he didn't have any loaded guns that I could find, but he did have kind of like a rifle that was not loaded. It was more like a show rifle. So I had that. I felt, I was like, if it, Christmas burglaries are quite common. So we figured that, if there was ever any problems, we'd just use that, whatever, to scare him off, whatever. So we go to bed, everything's fine. Well, and the reason why this scares me so bad is because we had no idea. Like, this is the most unexpected timing for something like this to happen. Christmas night, you know what I mean? So anyway, somebody wakes us up. Something woke me up, and it was the dogs, and the dogs were kind of going crazy at the door. Yeah, they were. They were at the door, kind of moving around, kind of being weird. This is like 3 in the morning. And, and dogs are only weird if there's someone there, And so I get up, and I hear something in the hallway. But, keep in mind that everybody's gone. They're all in Park City, about an hour and a half away. Nobody should even be there. And I hear something like somebody walking in the hallway. So I get up, and I wake up my wife and say, "Hey, did you hear that?" She's like, "Yeah, I do hear that." And my wife is even more of a realist than me. She's probably a lot more skeptical than I am. We go to the hallway, and the hallway light was on, which is weird because I don't remember leaving it on. I remember turning it off. Hallway light is on, and I look under the door, and I see footsteps happening. I see some footsteps. I see, like, somebody walking in the hallway, but it looked like a shadow was walking down the hallway. And so I thought there was a burglar. And so I said, okay, Krista, get ready to call 911. And I saw the footsteps coming towards the door, and I thought that they were going to start jiggling the handle because I was like, hey, this is it. This is a burglar. We're going to have to defend whatever. And so I grabbed the gun, and I was like, okay. I was like, if he comes through that door, I'm going to be ready, And the jiggling of the handle never came. And when I looked back under the door, there was nothing there. And so my wife called the police, and we told them that there was something in our house and whatever. And so as stupid as I was, I opened the door, and I didn't see anything in the hallway, but we heard a crash downstairs. And so we shut the bedroom door, we locked it, and then we actually crawled out of the master bathroom window, landed barefoot into like a feet of snow, ran around the front side of the house, got into our car and turned it on and turned on the heater to stay warm. Well, the police show up and they look around the house. There's no footprints, no nothing. They can't really claim that anybody was there. They do a thorough search of the house. There's nobody in the house. And then, which we're like, okay, I guess we're just nuts or something, whatever. But then when they left, we went into the house again. They had gone, and they said, you know, if anything else happens, you know, we're just a call away, whatever. We go back into the house, and I do a check, and when I was going around the upstairs, we hear something else in the basement. And we had all the animals with us. And so we're, at this point, we're freaked out. And needless to say, we just kind of decided to, you know, say a prayer to make you feel better, you know, and we kind of drifted off to like a half sleep state in the bedroom with everything locked. And, you know, we didn't really get very good sleep last night. Well, when everybody got back, we told them, and some of them believed it, some of them didn't. But to this day, I swear there was something paranormal. Now, I don't think it was malicious in intent or, you know, malicious anyway. But still, it was pretty creepy. But that is my story, and I hope that you enjoy it, and I hope that the listeners enjoy it. Thank you so much.
I think that's one of those cases, and we've had stories like this before, where everybody just assumes that it's somebody else in the house making the noise until everybody but you and the person with you is gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially when you have a whole family that's in one home, and then, you know, you just assume it's noise of your family members.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's, yeah, because you just kind of write it off.
Yeah.
Essentially, it just gets brushed off, and it... It's one of those things where you think about sometimes where, you know, we talk about how often are people haunted? How often does people have ghostly things happen? Mm-hmm. I think probably more than we realize.
And they just don't realize it's a haunting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
As written off as just something else. And because a lot of it could be.
Mm-hmm.
But then sometimes it's just not. That's really what it comes down to, I think, in really a lot of those cases. Damn, I was going to see if I could find that. Oh, here it is. Patrick Swayze.
Don't. You've worn this out. Don't do
fun,
this.
Though.
No, don't do this.
I'm thinking more things I could say. But anyway. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. I think this is the one I just played, so I'm going to go over to this caller right here. Let's hear your real ghost story.
Hi there. I really don't want to give my name because it's kind of a really, really personal. And anyway, my brother was murdered in 1996. And of course, I took it very badly. And I was suffering already with a depression. And the reason why I don't want to give my name is because I tried to commit suicide because I just could not handle the death of my brother. Maybe it was what do they call it, you know, someone who feels guilty for living, survivor's remorse. So I told no one what I was going to do. I took enough medications to hurt me, to kill me, because I literally did not feel like living anymore. And all of a sudden, so I laid down in bed and was ready to die. All of a sudden, I heard a voice. I'm not schizophrenic, but I heard a woman being not yelling, not being mean, but being very demanding, telling me I must get up, tell my husband to take me to the hospital and pump my stomach. And as much as I tried to ignore her. But the more I tried to ignore her, the more insistent she was. And in fact, she told me about 80%, she told me of my future. To such a degree that 80% of the things that she told me, at least 80%, if not more, actually occurred. She told me I would have a child, and at the time I didn't think I was going to have a child because I had endometriosis and everything. And yet she foretold the child. She foretold me, who I was going to marry. She told me events that. No way, and heck, I would have never known. And these events happened 10 years after the fact. But that's not really the reason why I got up. I got up because she wouldn't stop bothering me. And no sooner did I get up and told my ex-husband to take me to hospital, she stopped talking. And I never heard of her. And that's just one of my stories. And like I said, I'm not schizophrenic, but it occurred. And ever since then, every time I've come close to death, which has been like 3 or 4 times, the veil between this world and that world evaporates. And I've experienced black shadows and everything. So anyway, I wanted to relate that story. Love your show. Plan on being an EPP member. And take care. Bye now.
I think, you know, sometimes when you're in a state like that and you kind of have the effects of what you took altering your state of consciousness, I think it opens you up more to receiving some of these messages from deceased loved ones.
Sure. I mean, it's we've heard similar stories on the show before where it's almost kind of thins the veil.
Where you wouldn't maybe normally hear or receive what they're trying to tell you.
Sure.
But in that case, because of the, you know, the gravity of the situation, that it just, you're able to get it.
Yeah, and is that the case all the time? No, there are certainly other things that could be going on for some people. But in other cases, it could very well be something very, you know, paranormal going on. Thanks for the call. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Chelsea from North Carolina calling. I wanted to tell you a story about my family and something we experienced at the Lizzie Borden House in Fall River, Massachusetts. For those of you who don't know what Lizzie Borden is, there's this like kind of really dark, creepy nursery rhyme that's like, Lizzie Borden took an axe, gave her mother 40 whacks. When she saw what she had done, she gave her father 41. This was based on a true story, and you can actually go to the house where supposedly Lizzie Borden killed her stepmother and father. And my family, we like to make a tradition. 5 years or so, we go, like, we're from the Midwest, and we'll go to like the East Coast, and we'll go to like New York and Connecticut and Massachusetts, and we're just really into history and stuff. And my mom was watched like something about Lizzie Borden, like, and she saw that you can visit the house, and she was like, we need to do this. And of course, all of my, I have 4 brothers and 2 sisters, and so there's 3 girls counting me. So there's 7 of us. And on this particular trip, my oldest brother didn't go, so it was just my 3 brothers and then the 3 girls and my parents. And we went to the Lizzie Borden house, and you take a tour of the house with a guide, and they tell you all about it. And it's really, like, a lot more happened in the house besides Lizzie murdering 2 people. Like, apparently, Lizzie's aunt, like, killed her 2 children and then slit her throat on the property in the 20s. It was supposedly, like, a speakeasy or whatever. And, like, there's actual bullet holes in the wall in the basement. There's a lot of bad juju in this house. So as we're going through, we're on the tour, and I just start to feel absolutely sick to my stomach. Like, I feel so nauseous, I'm going to fall over. I just felt so uncomfortable, and I did not want to be there. So as we're walking through, I'm just like, I'm telling my mom, I'm like, oh my God, like, I feel like I'm going to pass out. And my mom was like, me felt the exact same thing. Like, she felt so much like dread, and just like, she felt so nauseous. And I'm like, we start talking to all of my siblings, and every single one of my siblings and my father, we're all just so sick on this tour, and we feel so disgusting. I'm like, we felt completely fine all day before going on this tour. And then, you know, like, we're just all, like, feeling disgusting, and, like, everyone else on the tour is completely fine. They're all, you know, just, like, laughing about the history of the house, and just like, they're perfectly fine. They don't seem like as sick as we are. And so as soon as the tour was done, we got out of the house. It was like a freaking spell. It was like the second we got out of the house, we were all perfectly fine. We didn't feel sick anymore. I don't know what it was. That moment in my life, like, made me believe that my siblings and I have all some kind of sensitivity, and it stems from my mother and my father. We've all had our own little, like, weird ghost stories. Particularly one of my brothers and I used to work at a haunted hotel, which I tried writing in to you guys about that, but it's a pretty long story, and I just don't know the best way to send it in. If you guys are okay with it being a particularly long story, let me know. I hope to hear this on the show, and have a great day.
We're good with particularly long stories.
Yeah, most of the time the longer stories end up on the EPP episode.
Yeah, as long as it's a good story.
Of course.
Yeah. We honestly have had some stories that were rather long that never really made it to air, where you're like, where's the ghost?
Yeah.
In this story. But if it's a good story, please do write it, call it, whatever you prefer.
Yeah, definitely. And I think all of them feeling ill in that house, but then it being gone as soon as they left, is not just something like they had bad food at lunch or something like that. I think something's going on.
Bad taquitos from the gas station.
Yeah.
It can cause problems.
It can.
It really can. And sometimes you think it's paranormal because of the noises that your body makes. That's speaking from experience.
Okay.
Right there. Do you think that it runs in the family, like it's a genetic type thing?
Sensitivity? Definitely. Yeah, yeah. I definitely do. I think especially from female family member to female family mm-hmm. member. I mean, obviously there's a lot of men that are sensitive and boys that are sensitive, but I think you hear about it more frequently with females, and I don't know if maybe that's just because we talk about it more.
What about sensitive men of the 90s? Are they...
What?
Remember that term people used to say? That term, it was used in a lot of television shows to be like, I'm a sensitive man of the 90s. It was kind of that term for guys who didn't want to be ultra macho.
I didn't watch much TV in the 90s, so I don't know.
Can you still be a sensitive man of the 90s in 2016? That's the next question.
Okay.
These are the things we ponder on our show. At Real Ghost Stories Online.
Now, those are the things you ponder on your side of the desk by yourself.
If you'd like the show to continue, please become an EPP. Sign up on the website, ghostpodcast.com. Let's get all the bonus episodes, all of the EPP bonus episodes, and all the archive stuff that's fallen off iTunes. All in all, there's like roughly around 400 episodes there to enjoy. I know, because I had to compile the list the other day.
Fun.
Of the ones that fell off and like find them all and click 400. Or it was about 300 of the ones that fell off. I had to click on each one and get it onto the playlist. So one by one by one. So there you go. It's all up there. Enjoy at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.